Today on Real Radio.
There are people who will say, you're going to teach on Bible prophecy from the Bible? I'll come back in a few weeks when you're done teaching on it. Those people are either aligning themselves for deception or they've already been deceived. Very serious business.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a section in Matthew's Gospel that addresses events that take place during the time in which you and I are living, right now. The Messianic era, also known as the end times. We'll have a look at the events that happen during that age. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his series with a lesson called The Parable of the Fig Tree.
We're looking at the verses, and we'll read them in a moment, of this parable that took place that Jesus gave in what is called the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse. It's a discourse Jesus gave. It's his last time of public teaching on the Mount of Olives. That's why it's called the Olivet Discourse. If you've watched the news and you've seen the Dome of the Rock Mosque and the Temple Mount to the right of the Dome of the Rock Mosque there in Jerusalem, that camera that you're watching on the news is looking from the Mount of Olives. It's on the Mount of Olives. And imagine now, in your mind's eye, if you've seen that angle of the camera, Jesus is with the disciples seated with that same view. Of course, the Dome of the Rock, Islam had not been invented yet. And so it's not there. The Dome of the Rock Mosque is not there. The temple's there. And we showed you last time, remember the pictures of the stones that had been thrown down? But the temple and its glory is there. And the disciples had said to Jesus, look at all the stones. Look at the magnitude of the temple and of this area. And you remember what Jesus said? We looked at it last time. The shocking announcement. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something right now. Not one stone will be left upon another. And it shocked them. Because that was not only Jerusalem he was speaking about, but he's talking about the nucleus of Judaism and of the Jewish religious practices, the temple. Everything was wrapped up in the temple. Now, you got to remember something. During the time of Christ, the Ark of the Covenant was not there. It was almost, or if not fully, somewhat of a sham. You say, can you say that? Listen, Jesus made it very clear. You've taken my Father's house and you've converted it into a den of thieves. And notice that when the Bible says Jesus taught at the temple, that's the temple precinct area. That would have been the Temple Mount area. Jesus never went into the temple itself and even gave it any homage or acknowledgement. Do you understand that? It's almost as though and I think he did intentionally ignore it, though he taught on that Passion Week often there. So you're seeing this grand structure of religion, but the spirit had long been gone. It had the outward manifestation of following God, pursuing God, going through all of the rituals of religion, but the internal, can I say the word guts of it? The guts of it were completely hollowed out. No Ark of the Covenant, no Shekinah glory, no manifestation of God's presence over the cherubim. Remember that you've read in the Old Testament? All that's gone now. It's been gone. There had not been any profound manifestation for over 400 years. But people just kept going through the motions. Very serious stuff. And then Jesus launches the Olivet Discourse, which, listen everybody, is a prophetic discourse. Jesus' last teaching, this teaching was given, by the way, on Tuesday of Passion Week. A massive week of Jesus' instructions leading up to his crucifixion and resurrection. But this Tuesday before the Good Friday, Jesus gives this incredibly elongated day of teaching and the Olivet Discourse. and it's extremely powerful. And listen, it's prophetic. And I got to tell you something. I need all of you to hear this. There is a breeze, I should say it is a wind blowing in and through churches in America that if you don't know, if you're not aware of, you must become aware of. And that is avoid the prophetic teaching of God's word. Avoid it. Don't do it. Don't teach on it. As a denomination or as pastors, don't get into it. Number one, listen, people will say, pastors will say, it's controversial. Don't go there. Last time I read my Bible, a pastor's supposed to be controversial just by the nature of the gospel. The gospel's controversial. Second thing is this. A pastor is supposed to, by God's decree, inform people of the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? The happy stuff and the serious stuff. The warm and fuzzy and the stuff that just causes your teeth to be set on edge. And the next thing is that it's estimated that some 27% of the Bible is prophetic in nature. I personally don't believe that, though scholars say it is. I believe over 27% of the Bible is prophetic, probably more like half. When you put all of the scriptures together that prophesy, for example, the first coming of Jesus Christ, or the Old Testament promises that God would save by the sacrifice of the Messiah coming. There's things that God promised prophetically. Look, Genesis chapter 3 announces that you and I would experience salvation by the seed of the woman through Eve. That's a prophetic announcement. Our God is prophetic when he speaks. And there's a teaching today, if you don't know, thank God you don't know, but for those of you who are struggling with it, there is teachings out there from pulpits in America. By the way, some of them are the biggest churches in America, saying, don't go there, don't talk about, avoid the books, don't go to those chapters, and don't have the people even get into it. And yet, listen, the Bible tells us that what makes, among other things, the God of the Bible so absolutely radically unique for us to be concerned about is that he is the only one that knows the future in advance. The God of Islam does not know the future in advance. The God of Hinduism or the gods of, there are no others. And you'll never appreciate that if you don't know the prophetic teaching of the Word of God. And sadly today, there are people who will say, you're going to teach on Bible prophecy from the Bible? I'll come back in a few weeks when you're done teaching on it. Those people are either aligning themselves for deception or they've already been deceived. Very serious business, because God announces that he sets himself apart from all the idols of the world because he and he alone knows the future. In fact, I'm going to give you some verses. Are you ready? Hold up your pen. Do you have a pen? Hold it up. Okay? Then if you don't have a pen, then you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior tonight. You need to take notes. And this is, listen, as we look to the parable of the fig tree in Matthew 24, and as we have already announced that we're going to go through this very, very methodically and carefully, Revelation 19, verse 10. Revelation 19:10 says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Wow. Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Oh man. Good night and God bless. That's enough. That's enough right there. Does your God know the future? Yes. If you have a God that doesn't know the future, you got the wrong God. Next verse, Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Okay, now look, everybody. Look at that verse, because of where we're going. Check it out. God announces in Isaiah 42:9, Isaiah 46:9, that he knows the future in advance, and he's the only one. Did you guys all hear that? He's the only one who can do this. God alone. So hang on to your seats. It shouldn't surprise you in this church, but if you're visiting tonight, may this freak you out. John 14:29. And now I have told you before it comes to pass that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Who said that? Jesus Christ. John 13:9. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am. And look, you see the word he? Some of your Bibles, if you have a good, accurate Bible, is the word he in italics in your Bible? You have a good Bible then. Did you know that? The letter he in John 13:19, in the original manuscripts, the word he does not appear there. Did you know that? You say, no. Yeah. Good. Watch this. Now I tell you before it comes to pass, Jesus is speaking, that when it does come to pass, remember who's the one who knows everything in advance before it happens? It's Almighty God, right? That you may believe that I am. The word he does not appear in the original scriptures. In 1610, the King James translators in England put the word he in there to cause you to understand that it's Jesus is the one that's speaking. And that good intentions, no doubt about it, but that's why your Bible has it in italics. It doesn't appear in the original manuscripts, okay? The awesome thing is, Jesus said, I'm telling you in advance, so you'll know that I am. Ego eimi. What is that? What'd you just say? I'm telling you in advance, so that when it comes to pass, you'll know that I'm the one who was in the burning bush that met with Moses. Awesome. That's pretty exciting stuff. 2 Timothy 3:16 then should not surprise us when the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. One more passage and then we'll get back to this excellent, wonderful parable. 2 Peter chapter 3. You sitting down? You ready for this? Because you are officially living in the age of this not only being propagated, but it's picking up momentum. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembering. Or reminder, number, or verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the, who? Holy prophets, Old Testament, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing, this is the command. The Bible tells you, know this. Know what? This first, that scoffers will come in the when? Last days, walking according to their own lust, and this is how you're going to recognize them. Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Do you know any Christians who say, oh man, I don't want to talk about that stuff. I don't want to know about that stuff. That's ridiculous. Causes confusion. Causes people to get all in an uproar. Who knows? Don't get involved in that kind of stuff. Besides, you know what? My grandmother said Jesus was going to come back. Oh yeah, that's nothing. Your grandmother's grandmother said Jesus was going to come back. That doesn't make, listen, just because a generation of grandmothers have told you that he's coming back doesn't mean that he's not coming back. Wake up, knucklehead. Knucklehead's a Hebrew word for get smart, will you now? It means this. It means if your great, 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 great grandmother said Jesus was coming back, you, my dear friend, are closer than your great granny was ever to Jesus coming back. It doesn't mean he's not coming back. It means it's very near and you need to be ready. But if you are not studying this stuff, if you're not looking at it, you are going to miss the joy of being ready, which, by the way, the Bible says God commands us to be ready and not to miss him. Very serious stuff. So, regarding the parable of the fig tree, I had you turn last time to Matthew 23. You remember that? Matthew 23 at verse 37, we began reading and we went into chapter 24, and the plan was to get all the way down to verse 34, and we made it really good. We came to Matthew 24, 32, which is, of course, the actual announcement of this parable. Jesus has now learned this parable. It's the only parable that Jesus says, know this. I'm holding you people accountable to know this. And he doesn't say this about any other parable. This is mandatory. This is not an option to the Christian. Jesus says, know it. What is it? Which one? The parable of the fig tree. When its branch is already become tender and puts forth its leaves. Remember, we said that means it's springtime. You know that summer's near. It's coming. This is very interesting. It's awesome. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it, circle the word it, is near even at the doors. And I want you to mark this down in your margins next to your Bible. Just write this down. That this is a parable about timing. It's a parable about global events. It's a parable about the second coming of Christ. And it's a parable about recognizing the signs of the last days. Jesus said 2,000 years ago that when you, whoever that generation is, in the end, you'll be able to recognize the time by all these things coming to pass. That means the disciples saw some things, but not all the things. That in the last 2,000 years, people saw some things, but not all the things. And the generation that is yet ahead of us, think of it. There's going to be a time. We know this. You know what? We know that it's safe to say it's more than 7 years away from now. They are going to see all these things come to pass, and that includes the physical return of the second coming, not the rapture, of Jesus Christ to Jerusalem. And don't you, isn't it amazing that tonight Jerusalem is in the news again tonight about dividing it up? Oh man, listen, are you a skeptic in the house? This is not in my notes. I'm sorry, but listen, you gotta, are you not a believer? Can I just kind of introduce you into something right now? Jerusalem's in the news tonight. For that matter, this is hard for an American to swallow. But what city's in the news more than any other city around the world and in other national publications? What city appears more in news broadcast and printed news than any other city in all of the globe? Let me give you a clue. It doesn't have any oil. It doesn't have an airport. It doesn't have a river. It doesn't have gold. It doesn't have a freeway. It doesn't have a Capitol building. It doesn't have the Washington Monument. It's Jerusalem. What is it? 60, how many years? 66? 66 years old today, Israel? Isn't it funny? You say, Jack, it's only 66 years old. Seems like it's been around a lot longer than that. Yeah, like thousands of years. But it's having its second birthday run. Why? Because no other nation in the history of the world, according to the Bible and world history, was a nation. And then God said, if you turn your back on me, I'm gonna stop blessing you. And when I stop blessing you, you're gonna be driven out to all the nations to the ends of the earth. And I won't talk to you until the end days come. And when that time comes, you'll know that I'm setting up the last days because I will call you from all corners of the globe back into your own land, and I will cause Israel to become a nation again in one day. I'm talking from the book of Isaiah. And listen, no nation has ever had that happen in the history of mankind, but one, here's the fun part, but one, and it's the nation Israel. And here's the cool thing. God wrote it down before it ever happened. That is science, my friend. That's pure, absolute science. You cannot refute it. You can run out of the building tonight with your hair on fire. You can be grinding your teeth. You can be furious. Listen. One word proves the existence of God. One word, Israel. Good night and God bless. Think of it. Absolutely awesome. So this parable comes about as the disciples ask Jesus regarding the destruction of the temple. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. They must have been freaking out, saying, tell us. First question, when will these things be? Second question, what will be the sign of your coming? That's a pretty insightful question. And third, and of the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. What a funny answer. When, Jesus, is all this going to happen? His answer is, watch out that you don't get deceived. Did you guys all hear that? Yes. This should cause you to sit up and take notice. This causes me to ask the question regarding last day's things and end time things and parable of the fig tree thing. Am I being deceived? Are you being deceived? Who tells you what? It better be the Bible instructing you. Because, listen, that's the only way that we're going to be able to discern the days. Luke chapter 21, Jesus put it this way. Luke recorded it this way. Luke 21, 29 says, then he spoke to them a parable, and he says, look at the fig tree and all the trees. In other words, seasons, springtime, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. And that word near is an awesome word. Watch everybody, because look, I need you to look at me. See this? See my hands? Every day, we're moving closer to what God calls the end. Now, the cool thing is, the end for the believer is just the beginning. It's cool. Events will happen on a greater scale, increasing. It's listed in Scripture. And as this snowball rolls, Jesus says, there's going to come a time when, as you discern these things, these indicators, like a checkup, there's indicators, your tongue, stick out your tongue. The doctor takes your temperature. He takes that little rubber mallet and whacks your knee with it. He's taking signs to see how you're operating. There are signs that are going to be telling us, now it's getting closer and closer and closer still. Are you with me, everybody? This is very, very fundamentally basic. And Jesus says, when all these things are happening, the kingdom is near. And this is amazing. Listen to what the word near means right here in Luke 21, 31. The word near here means to make near, upon, at, or to approach, or to be approaching. It is coming. Listen, it's coming. And the word implies this. This is amazing. It's coming in a fashion that can be seen. Now listen, Jesus earlier 2,000 years ago told the disciples, remember, the kingdom of God is not seen like this. It's not like this. It starts within. Remember that? And that is 100% true.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Fig Tree. It's part of our series that takes a close look at a section in Matthew's Gospel, which addresses events that occur in the end times, some of those things happening right now. The Parable of the Fig Tree, part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now don't forget, this series called The Parables of Jesus is available on MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Now, if you enjoyed and benefited from this collection of lessons, The Parables of Jesus, and you want to hear them again from the beginning, they're yours on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Simply visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you'll know exactly what to do. It's real easy. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.